Did seven kings die? The chronicles do not record if my Lord Uhtred survived. But those like me who knew him recognize him as the greatest warrior of our age, and a man who made a kingdom.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am so sad that this is all over.
Oh.
I'm so sad that
England
it's all over.
England was born, Blake. England was born.
Yes.
And our job here is done, and so is Uhtred's job.
Unbelievable. I will tell you, Mary, that it was... It felt like a nice old glove going back... To the show. Why?
Like, when have you ever liked an old glove?
I love an old glove. Like an old baseball mitt?
Yep.
Like, put that in. It fits right to your hand.
Old sweat. Maybe have some dirt still in it. Smells bad.
That is the best.
You know what I like? Fits like a brand new sweatshirt. Now you're talking.
Okay, sure.
That cozy fits like a brand fluff new inside before you wash it. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, whatevs. It fit like something that you like. Okay, we'll put it that way.
For some of you, it may be a glove. Others... new sweatshirt or sweatpants.
Either way, I really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to go back to this time. It was a pleasure to go back to Bebbanburg. It was a pleasure to see Uhtred and the whole and SEAL Team Uhtred. Mm-hmm. And it felt right, if you know what I mean. Did you feel that way when you were watching it? Or
it's like they never left.
Yes.
So I agree with you that there's many aspects where it felt like a reunion. It felt like, you know, going to your local pub on Thanksgiving Eve and seeing some friends and giving them high fives and hugs and catching up. But on the flip side, I almost felt like I never left. So
yeah, I think there's some interesting conversations that we can have in, because Mary and I, we have not discussed this at all.
No.
We have not discussed 1 ounce of this film together.
And we've watched it now
two or three times,
ish together. Yeah. But I've watched it also a couple more times and has taken every ounce of my strength, which isn't a lot. I don't have a lot of strength. I am no Uhtred.
No resolve whatsoever.
I would not have been able to pull down a giant stone.
No.
But it's taken every ounce of strength of mine to not talk with Blake about this.
Oh, man.
I'm so excited that we're finally recording about
it. Yes. All right. So all of you have watched the film as it is. So we don't necessarily need to do a plot recap. Do you want to do that?
Well, I do want to thank everybody at jointhenerdclan.com for making this happen. Of course, this kind of wraps up everything that we're doing with The Last Kingdom, unless surprisingly they say, I don't know, we'll do something else, but England's been born, so I don't know what else there could be to do. But I do want to let you know that, of course, we have loads of other projects and podcasts. So if the only one that you listen to of Blake and mine has been The Last Kingdom, we highly recommend that you check other things out. Of course, we've covered The House of the Dragon and Rings of Power and Harry Potter and Outlander's coming back and Bridgerton's coming back. So there's tons of things that we would love for you to check out right at maryandblake.com. And if this podcast has brought you joy and you are not yet a member at jointhenerdclan.com, I'm here to remind you that for as little as $2 a month, you truly make an impact in our own little kingdom. Yes. We're a mom and pop shop podcast shop. We don't have corporate sponsors. We don't honestly have like sponsors at all for this show. And so we do this because we enjoy it. We do it because we love connecting with you. And this is a project out of love, but there are still always like website and hosting fees.
Yeah. I mean, there's costs associated with all this.
So if we bring you joy and you're able to, know that donating goes a long way at jointhenerdclan.com. All right. On that note, yes, let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
And if by any point there was someone who like listens to this podcast episode far in the future and you have forgotten what happened in this movie, King Edward's health ended.
Yeah,
like he died. Goodbye. You don't even get to see
him.
You
don't got any health anymore.
He doesn't have it. And then some new random Viking guy, like a wolf guy, Anlaf, decides to get all these other angry kings of the North, King of the North. And he just causes a ruckus and bad things happen. And Uhtred once again has to save the day.
Yep. That's how he does it.
That's it. England's born, Uhtred dies.
Well, you know, does he though?
This is not that movie with the spinning top. He dies.
Does he though?
Yes, he... Listen.
I mean, eventually, yes, he does die. I mean, that's...
He's not here today.
We all die sometime. But yeah, interesting.
There's your mini plot recap.
This is part of the conversation that I want to have. All right, so we have
facts, FAQs.
That's the frequently details. Asked questions. FAQs.
Wow, that was like really smart of me. You just hit so hard that we zoomed in, Blake.
Did we really?
For impact.
How did we?
Facts. I know what facts are, and I know what FAQs are. And that was like a beautiful. That was a genuine. I don't even. I know the real thing. But if you say FAQs is fast, how would you say it? Facts. My brain just went off by itself.
Holy
Friends,
smokes.
Before you podcast, please have coffee. Otherwise,
oh my God.
This is what happens to you.
Holy
Either have
smokes.
Ale or coffee, because otherwise, if you were just drinking water,
just you turn
the facts
mush.
Out.
All right, the episode details, the facts.
Not
are
like
this.
Cute.
Directed by Edward Basil Gett. You should know that name.
Camera on you.
So you want me to have the camera on me?
Yes.
Okay, fine. We are having a video portion of this podcast, so let's put it on me. Where am I here? All right, there we go. All right, so the facts are this. Directed by Edward Basil Gett. You should know that name because Edward Basil Gett has directed many an episode of The Last Kingdom that would include episodes 309, 310, 401, and 2, and then as well as 409 and 410. Meaning he has handled essentially the premiere and finales. He handled the finales of season three, penultimate episode and the finale. He did the premiere and the second episode, the penultimate and the finale of season four. Oh. I'm sure he didn't do season five because obviously there's a lot of prep with this film here as it is. That would be that. That is the director. And he's also directed, if you want to go ahead and check out some of his other work, he has directed some episodes of The Witcher on Netflix, as well as Fate, the Winx Saga, and also Marie Antoinette, a new show on the BBC. So if you like his work, he's also directed some Doctor Who and the show Versailles. It was written by Martha Hillier. So Martha Hillier is the showrunner of The Last Kingdom for the past couple of seasons. And she has written a lot of different episodes of television, especially for The Last Kingdom. So do that on your own time. If you want to go check those out, you can go to IMDb. That is that. So those are the facts, Marvin. Gotta ask you, what do you got for your Shields rating? This is the last Shields rating we're ever going to give.
I know. And I feel badly because I don't want to give it a high one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 4.5.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. That is fight. Them's fighting words for you.
I mean, he's dead, so he can't come fight me.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to give it. I uncharacteristically here, I am higher than you on this. I'm at 4.76. I think there is reasoning for your I think there's plenty valid reasoning for your Shields rating. But I think the comfort level at which I am right now with this world probably boosts it up a little bit for me.
Yes.
More than you, which is fair. All right. So what do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
Okay. My good is all of the Finnan. I mean, if you have been a listener of The Last Game with Mary Blake, you know that my boy is Finnan through and through.
Yes.
And I love that the show begins with his voice. The show ends with his voice. We've got all his little humors. He loves to nap. He wants a bed. He grieves for his wife. Oh my goodness gracious. He makes little jokes about who touched his bum and that at least they smell a little better, like, because they're so stinky. Maybe they will know we're coming because they can smell us. Like, I just love Finnan.
Yeah.
I love him.
Finnan's great.
And they put so much Finnan that Finnan lovers like myself were delighted when they got to see this.
Yes, would agree.
Okay.
But God. What's your bad?
And mind you, this is still a 4.5. So this is still technically what? An A? An A minus? I don't even know, right?
Sure.
Sure. But
no, 4.5, that's like a B plus-ish.
Okay, fine. So still a B plus, okay? I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, but on the Mary scale, that's like a C minus-ish.
My bad for all of you friends of The Good Place. Ya basic.
Oh, I got it.
Ya basic.
There you go. I got
ya. Ya basic.
That's a serious term to be dropping here on Mary and Blake Media.
Because this could have honestly just been two TV episodes. I didn't feel like there was anything different between the television shows that I've seen before. This did not feel like a movie compared to the show. The show already had the cinematic, the music, the people.
Mm.
And then for this to be like a big movie, just say it's a reunion. Say it's a reunion episode. Say it's concluding the series. Did they always intend that England was going to be born in a final movie? Was that the big deal? I feel like you can't watch this, quote, movie. I'm honestly giving it quotes because it felt like two TV episodes. I don't feel like anyone could just watch this as a standalone movie. When you search The Last Kingdom on Netflix the week that it came out, you couldn't even find Seven Kings Must Die because you had to search Seven Kings Must Die instead of The Last Kingdom. But I'm sorry, this is The Last Kingdom like 5.1, all right? It's just two extra episodes. Who the heck was Interbred or Inglemunger or whatever the heck his name was? Was he the son of Anlaf? I don't know. Probably, maybe, maybe not. Nothing explained. Who even was Anlaf aside from some wolf guy, but he never wore a wolf thing. Was that just his stick? So he's the main bad guy, but I've never known him all these times. Who the heck were all the other kings? I don't know about you. I don't care that you're going to die. Good for you. Where are Uhtred's other kids? Where's Hild? Where are Sitric's children? Why do we just care about Finnan and his wife, who they had kids?
Yep.
Where's Sitric's family? Remember, that's all Sitric's plot was. One day I want to go home. He was basically like the Samwise Gamgee of Lord of the Rings, saying, oh, the one thing I regret is I didn't marry that girl from the tavern. And then he goes home and he marries a girl from the tavern and he has a kid. He's happy. That was Sitric's only arc. Sitric had two lines, I think, in this entire, quote, movie. And it was, my lord.
Yeah.
This person's here, my lord. So Sitric was totally robbed. And did his family die also in the rocks? We don't know. And how old is Uhtred? You outlived Alfred. You outlived Edward. Now you're the same age. And did they just decide, okay, we're not going to age up Uhtred because we saw what happened with Harry Potter's epilogue and we either need to like ugly him up and then people are going to be upset and people really just want to watch this in addition to all the other things, but like he's hot, so let's just keep him hot. But like, let's just, for example, pretend that maybe he was, what, 16, 17, 18 when this whole series started. And then, of course, in a few years, he had to actually save Edward when he was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Edward has kids and he then helps raise his kid, Æthelstan. So what was this would be a believable thing, kind of the way he was pictured, if the series started when he was like 16, 17, 18, which maybe that was the timeline he was supposed to be. But he looks the same aside from his messy hair on Coronation Day. It's Coronation Day. And then he got like his, you know, hair back up. He looks the same. And I do not believe that you are old enough to be there when Æthelstan now is king for 15 years.
Yeah, so it looks like...
I just don't believe it.
Hold on one second.
Oh, my great is that I'm happy to see people again. They're my friends. I was happy to see Purleg. I was happy to see all the people in the Great Hall. I was happy to see, of course, my boy Finnan. I was happy to see everybody again, but I was actually very disappointed in this being a movie.
So when the movie ends at the Battle of Brunanburh in 937, Uhtred is technically...
What, 56? Wait, is this... Okay, because was Uhtred real life? We don't
Uhtred
know.
Uhtred is a real life character, but not in the way that he's portrayed in this show.
Okay. How old was real Uhtred when he died? We don't know.
I don't know.
But...
And to be honest, I don't care.
Numerically, based upon like the wars and different things, how old is Uhtred supposed to have been when he said farewell and went to Valhalla?
Just take a guess. Take a
As
good
I
guess.
Said, if we were lucky,
I guarantee
for it to start
you, you're going to be wrong.
18. So I was figuring, okay, if he started in the series that young, mm-hmm. still teenager esque, when he like, you know, pops his cherry, or pops whatever's cherry, you know,
some cherry,
fire and like all hell breaks loose, cherries were popped. Then I would think maybe he could be 56.
Okay.
That was the idea I came up
with. That's the guess you got?
That's the guess I got, that he could even look 56.
So when he... so
And that is a hot 56. That is like you are sitting down saying, excuse... You're wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in real life...
But in real life, if I didn't see him and all this time has passed, I would picture he was 74.
In real life, he the actor, Alexander Draiman, he is 40 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. In the show, within the context of the historical events that are portrayed...
That's what I'm saying. Pushing it, I wouldn't even believe he was 56. Yeah.
Within the context of the show, Uhtred is 81 years old. I told you, you wouldn't even get it.
I wish I had a swig of ale.
After the Battle of Brunanburh, he's 81 years old.
No wonder the Queen's like, I would prefer younger people go. And I'm looking at it going, he's the same guy who saved you 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, he's 81.
Yeah. This is not someone even remotely close to 81. This is someone who looks 40 and has looked 40, has looked 30 through 40. That's what he looked like.
Yes.
This entire show.
Well, no, I think he looked good when he first started the show. When he first started it, he was in his
early
20s. Yeah, like early 20s.
No. When he first started the show, when did the show first come out?
Yeah, when he first started the show, he was in his early 30s.
Yes. Because
it came out in 15, so yeah, he'd be
like
30,
this actor looks
32.
His age.
Yes, I agree.
He does not look the ages that Uhtred was supposed to portray.
I was able
to like believe at the younger years, especially because of how he acted. So the way he acted made me believe he was younger. The way he acts now does not make me think he's, what, 81 you said?
By the time the movie ends, he's 81.
I am 40 and I wake up in the morning with ouches and ouches.
So many ouchies.
There are no ouchies for Uhtred.
Uhtred has no ouchies.
And so it was very hard for me to believe that all of this has happened, and this is how he looks, especially now with, and this is Netflix we're talking about, so this is why this is my bad. Netflix did, what was that movie with all the mobster people, and they aged them and they de-aged them?
Oh, The Irishman.
You have Netflix's team who was able to do that magic with The Irishman. You can't bippity-boppity-boo Uhtred?
The budget for The Irishman was enormous.
Yes.
They actually invented cameras just for The Irishman.
Yes, but guess what? They invented them. And I'm saying, you only got to age this guy up a little bit. Nobody really looks at Citric. Just put a few gray hairs in Finnan because you know he's going to be a silver fox. Mm-hmm. He didn't even have gray hair, Finnan.
That's because Finnan is in around the same age
he's
as Uhtred.
He's the original. I think he's honestly the guy in the box for Just for Men. He looks just like it. So that's fine. Maybe he started with like bark back in the Viking days. I would believe that Finnan would dye his hair and his beard.
Yes.
I would. I just would.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
Especially now that he's a widower. Like, go for it, Finnan. Go for it.
You got to own it.
But Uhtred, who obviously doesn't care that much about self-care. You saw him in that intro scene when the queen comes in.
Oh, yeah. The hair was all over the place.
He has not found the fountain of youth.
No.
He doesn't have moisturizer and eye cream. And yet this man is supposed to look double his age. I can't. So
all right,
that's
all right.
It.
What's
Hashtag
your great?
You basic.
What's
I already
your great?
Said my great because I was so busy complaining. I just said my great is to see friends again.
Oh, okay, great. All right, fair enough. All right. Well, again, I think this is all part of the conversation that I want to have about this film.
Well, you were just so confused why I only gave it a 4.5, and this is why I wanted to talk about it. So, quickly give me your GBGs.
All right, so quickly, my
good... I feel like I got a lot off of my chest.
You definitely did. My good was the final scene. I mean, just what we showed here at the top of our episode. Uhtred, once again, torn between two worlds, and like having a real...
I thought it was a little cheesy. He's standing there by himself, and there's like light on one side, and he's just looking down at the ground.
I appreciate that you thought it was cheesy. I could see why you would think that it is. And when you look at it, it kind of is a little bit. However, I like that they
needed to cheese it up.
They needed to cheese it a little bit. They needed to have a real a physical representation of the two worlds he finds himself in, and a choice that he has to make. Right? It's a real choice that he has to make.
Except he didn't grab his sword.
But again, this is the whole thing. Like, yes, he didn't grab his sword.
Do you have to have your sword if you don't die in battle?
Does he actually?
What happens if you die in your sleep?
Does he actually die? I think he actually dies.
I'm wondering, to get into Valhalla with your sword, is that only if you're in battle? What if you die while you're on the pooper? What if you die in bed?
You just got to keep like
a sword everywhere.
A sword around.
can't wipe. Gotta hold my sword.
All right. So the bad for me, like you said, Mary, is I won't go into it as much as you did, but it's part of this conversation, which is... there is no chance that you can consider this a standalone film. There's just no way. I mean, I suppose you could. Somebody could come into this and watch it.
And be very confused.
And it's not that they would be confused. It's just that they would not have any... You could have an understanding of who the characters are, what they're doing. Like, you're set up immediately with the idea that Edward dies and that this guy Uhtred's important because he's in the north and he has a pre-existing relationship with Æthelstan, and these are Uhtred's followers, and Uhtred's a big deal. And then you ride the plot with yourself. Mm. But that doesn't make it good, by the way.
No.
So I would say,
and that's why I'm saying, like, for me not to even be able to find this when I searched The Last Kingdom, when I went on Netflix this weekend for it, wrong. And Netflix was too busy with the Love Is Blind fiasco.
That's true. Although I totally agree with that, by the way. But the Last Kingdom was in the top 10. As a matter of fact, it was the number one choice on Netflix for like a brief stint there
before Love Is Blind. It came out 2 days before.
That's true. Good point. Yeah, Love Is Blind. Love Is Blind certainly overtook it real quick.
Well, if it worked.
if you actually got a chance to watch it, you know, consume it. So, I would say, and this is, again, part of the larger conversation that we have to have. My great, though, is I love the fact that there is this question about all of the stuff that Uhtred has done. Everything that we watched in the series... did it just kind of kick the can down the road?
And it picked really crappy stuff. Oh, what was that guy's name? Knut the Cock? And what about that other woman who gave the prophecies? Skate, don't remind me. Like, the only reason
I think that was a nod to fans. Oh, because everybody hates Skate.
But I also thought that it was to lead to, we have our own seer. That's how I took it. That was the purpose of mentioning Skade.
Yes.
Was that then his wife could, then Finnan could joke, well, my wife thinks she's a seer too. So why I gave it okay. But I'm like, out of everybody, this is what we're chatting about?
Well, he talks about blood hair. He talks about Knut. And
how about the witch who saved Edward in a mud bath? Like, come on.
Oh, I love her.
Yes.
Iseult.
Yes.
Oh, the sexiest scene in all of television.
Yes.
When she gets introduced to Uhtred. Ooh, it still sends shivers up my spine.
I'm just saying, there was some other... And why not mention Heston? Did they just mention people who weren't going to see in Valhalla?
Well, no, he talked about all the warlords.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say Heston's name. How dare you not Heston?
Yeah, well...
Heston didn't even have chicken in his hand in Valhalla.
He absolutely should have had chicken.
I know! He had a glass of ale. I rewatched it multiple times because I was like, please show me chicken somewhere! He's on the end of the table. You could easily have just had a platter in front of him. No chicken.
If you're just listening to this podcast for the first time, we had a long-standing joke that Heston always had chicken in his hands.
And then why say Knut is the cock? At least say Heston was the cock. Because then it's a chicken joke.
Oh, man.
I will just say the writers of The Last Kingdom obviously don't listen to our podcast because had
that... Well, we thought for so long that they did.
Well, then there would have been chicken in Heston somewhere.
So, all right. So that is my great. It's just like I liked the idea that it was kind of just kicking the can down the road a little bit. And I really liked how they were able to put that into the plot of the show. Like, Uhtred does not want to fight. And it's not just because he's, you know, in his, you know, 70s or whatever at the beginning of the film, but because he's done everything. He's done what he's supposed to do. And why are we fighting? Like, what's the point? And this is where I want to start our large conversation.
Okay.
All right. This is where I want to kick it off.
You don't want to kick it off with Uhtred having a really quick hairdo change?
Sure.
I'm kidding.
I want to start this conversation off with this, Mary.
Okay.
I enjoyed this film. I quite enjoyed it.
Should Aldhem have had a honey? That's the question. Did we do him service?
No.
We did not.
It's because, okay. He loved Ethel Flynn.
I know he did, but that man deserved a honey.
See, I don't see him as a character taking, you know, any time for a relationship.
He would have if he could have.
All right.
Okay, continue.
Here's where I want to begin. I enjoyed the
These
film.
These are my actual notes. Aldhem is still single. Poor bloke.
You are such
Uhtred gets a quick hairdo.
Dork. Oh my goodness gracious.
Father Purelick goes without a GPS again.
Always. He doesn't need no GPS. He doesn't. Come on. We've already learned this.
This time he had a horse, though. He wasn't walking.
All right.
Okay, you want to start?
Can I please at least
real?
Start the conversation? Okay. I enjoyed this film, like I said, and it was great to go back to the world. I think there are some glaring mistakes. Well, not mistakes. I think there are some glaring needs and missteps. Can I whistle past the graveyard on Uhtred being 81? Yeah, I can. Because I don't care.
Yes, agreed.
I don't care.
They had to make that choice. Do we do this and potentially that's all we're known for is that this was done badly?
Yeah. I mean, even totally as he aged up, like by the time they finish him in season 5, right? He's in his early 60s, right?
Yes.
So, like, are you going to age him up to his early 60s? No. Like, why?
Just let him be. Just let him be. Young
maybe
and
if you gave him a couple of gray hairs, maybe that's like you do the Outlander effect,
yes.
Right? Like, okay, maybe you give him a little bit, a couple of wrinkles. You give him some gray hair, and that's
and bada bing, bada boom. We can all dream that that's how we'll look at 81.
We call that the Claire Fraser effect.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Fine.
I'm here for
it. But they didn't do it. Okay. Whatevs. Like, stats are for nerds. I'm not here to watch an 81-year-old Uhtred wield a sword. I'm just not. So I don't care. I also really don't care that Hild and Steora and like they made mention of Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Mini
Uhtred. They made mention
Monk
of
Uhtred.
Him. But like, whatever. Like, whatevs. I'm not watching The Last Kingdom for Steora or Aelswyth.
I'm upset about it. I'm upset that they weren't. Okay, we got Monk Uhtred mentioned,
yes.
But we didn't hear anything about Steora. And we spent the entire last season.
Well, yeah, that was
hardcore
a major arc.
With Steora.
And but at the end of the season, though, she goes off to do her own thing, right? So,
but just mention her.
I think it's
say,
fair.
Osbert, your siblings aren't here. Your sister's doing her own thing. Your brother's a monk. You're gonna hold down the fort.
That's a
just
fair criticism.
Do that for me.
Fair criticism. But Hild agreed.
But she must be gone with Citric's family.
they're on
and all the Finnan's kids.
They're on sabbatical. So whatever, I'll whistle past that too.
Okay.
I think where the movie, and if you want to call it a movie, I think where the film goes wrong is the show ended in a place for Uhtred that was natural. he had gotten Bebbanburg back.
The rain,
the whole thing.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
It was tremendous. And then he looks back after looking out into the horizon, seeing all the people and all the things that he's done. His arc is complete.
So why did they do this movie?
Because Bernard Cornwell wrote more books. He wrote 3 more books after book 7, right?
Okay.
And they wanted to tell the complete story, which I can appreciate that.
And why
too,
did they
right?
make that into the show?
What do you mean? Oh, to my knowledge, by the time that they had finished filming, he had written more books.
Okay.
But whatever, like even if they didn't,
okay,
like whatevs, like there's a lot of stuff going on there, and Netflix didn't necessarily want to keep paying the money to keep producing The Last Kingdom content. Characters, people are getting older, contracts are running out. Do they want to keep, you know, investing in the show for the amount of money that it costs to do? Like, all of those things play into it. Mm-hmm. So I can see why they made the choices that they did. The problem that the film suffers is that it begins with Uhtred and there's just nothing to tell other than everything's great. Everything is awesome until it's not. And then the film has to maneuver itself and get into this plot yoga,
okay,
to make a problem.
Well, Edward dies and that's the problem.
Well, that is the inciting incident.
How did he die? I would have liked to know. I spent a lot of time with that kid.
Yeah. And like, you also have to consider too, like there's probably some like scheduling issues that came up with all of these actors. Right?
I mean, I don't need to see him. It's okay that he died, but I just want to know like, how did he die?
Well, like Iagafu is a different actress.
Yes.
Right. Because the lady that was in season 5 couldn't do it. Right.
I got over it too.
Like again, stats are for nerds. Yes. What do I care? But you have to begin somewhere, right? You have to see change, right? In a film or in a character or in whatever, right? If you just begin a film where everything is just nominal, like everything's okay, yay, wee, like I have Bebbanburg and we're living here and everything's peaceful. And yes, the inciting incident is Edward dying, but that doesn't change Uhtred. It just changes everything around it. It changes the complexity around him.
Well, and I think Uhtred goes out thinking it's going to be a quick, short thing. Oh, I'm going to go talk to Æthelstan and we'll sort this out and I'll be back home.
Yes. And that's what I'm talking about, because the film has to manufacture something for Uhtred to make him
leave
and change. Right. He has to
see Æthelstan.
Yeah.
Murder his brother.
And you have to bring Uhtred there. Right. And then you see Æthelstan do that. And then you have the whole confrontation with Ingelmunder and the whole thing. And then it contorts itself where Uhtred captures Ingelmunder. And then it contorts itself even more where like Uhtred gets stripped of all of his stuff and sent off of Bebbanburg. And by the time that happens, we're halfway through the film. And then I contend that the film doesn't actually really begin until that point.
Yikes.
Because then that's where change happens, right? Like that's where Uhtred begins at nothing and then ends creating England.
Yes.
So the first half of the film is just, I'm not saying that it's bad, but it just contorts itself to getting to where it needs to go in order for the change to facilitate itself, which to me is hard. It's hard to accept because it does, Mary, make you feel like, well, I'm watching another episode, mm-hmm. right? So tell me why you felt like you are watching another episode.
Visually, it felt the same as a television show, mm-hmm. which still stellar. So that's still why I say it gave it so high. You know, 4.5 still, B+, A-, still a great piece of work.
Well, within context to itself, right? Because within, I would say that The Last Kingdom, the show, is a cinematic show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but that's what I'm saying is like, I've been watching the show. I don't think any person in their right mind would actually sit down and watch this movie without watching the show. They'd be confused in the first several minutes. Like, why do I even care about these people? They're all talking about someone I don't know. You know, I really don't think that many people will watch this show standalone by itself. This movie, excuse me. See, I keep calling it a show.
Could you do it? Could you sit down and watch this?
No.
You wouldn't do it.
I don't care about any of these people.
Yeah, but you go into any film not caring about anybody.
No, and I won't finish it if I don't care about them.
Same right, thing but with TV. does the film
no, I wouldn't
make
care about-
you care about any of the people?
No.
Really?
No. Who would you care about?
You'd care about Finnan. I think you would care about Finnan. I think you would care about Uhtred.
I didn't care about Uhtred for like 2 seasons.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. It's not like he saved a little puppy in the first 5 minutes. He didn't have anybody die like a Pixar movie in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have cared about him. And Finnan, I would have just said, okay, he's...
He's the funny guy.
Yeah. He's the funny guy that fills us in with the backstory and it wraps things up.
Do you think that Finnan is... I know I'm taking you off track here, but... So you wouldn't watch it outright?
I wouldn't watch this.
No. Okay, fair enough. Do you think it's possible to watch outright?
If you're drunk.
All right. What is the through line of the film for you? Like, the way that I look at it is, I think Finnan, his journey in the film,
yes,
is the emotional crux of the film.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't think so?
No, I would not watch this as a movie.
No, but just your knowing what you know now, right?
Like, no, I just think it's the end of Uhtred. I think that this is part of the TV show. I think that is honestly how I will always view it, that this was the last chapter. This is the, what's the thing when it's the epilogue. This was the epilogue of the show.
Yeah, this is an epilogue
or
like a coda, if you will.
Yes.
You know, like something like that.
Like, let's make England happen. We get to see the death of Uhtred as I'm standing by that he died. You know, I think that it is a great epilogue.
The next big question I have for you, Mary, is the final shot of the film is Bebbanburg or
yes, modern
Bamburg
day.
Castle in modern day.
Is your question, when are we going?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that fit within...
Yes.
The language of the show, and is it an appropriate?
Yes.
Why?
Because the show always would take the titles of where a place is and then smush it into what we know it is now. So from the get-go, they've been relating it to modern day for us.
Yes.
And then when they introduced Æthelstan, they announced him the first king of England.
Yes.
So I think from the get-go, they have been portraying the show in a way that we can always relate it to where things are now.
I like that reasoning. I think that's good reasoning. Because before you said that, I was on the team of like, no, that did not fit. In fact, it's kind of distracting to see the cars and all the stuff. But now that you place it like that, I'm now buying. Okay. I'm not selling anymore. I'm buying. So I think that's good. All right, great. I actually thought that would be a much longer conversation. All right. Wow. That was a quick change, Blake. All right.
Okay. Scotland's king over the years.
Oh, King Constantine.
Still just as hot. I love it. I just love that he has these deep talks by the fire and his man goes on over and is like, listen, Æthelstan sucks. We're probably going to fight against him. Like, I just loved it.
Yeah.
Sad that sad things ended up the way that it had to for him. Father Purelig had a major death fake out and I kind of wish he died.
That would, I don't want to say it would have been nice, but it would have been fitting that if he did die.
I mean, on the flip side, he's always come back. Always.
Yes.
So I guess if you're sticking with his character, he is the Energizer Bunny. But that was quite the force. And then he was kind of like trampled on. He had to crawl over all the dead bodies. So I'm glad he's alive. But honestly, isn't he supposed to be older than Uhtred?
Father Purelig?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so.
Yeah. So,
but again, I'm whatever.
I was ready for him to die. I think that would have hit me more emotionally than Aldhelm dying.
Oh, Aldhelm dying was a big deal for me. Because you were waiting. You were waiting for somebody to come to his rescue. You were waiting.
Because he's always been playing the two sides and having his ears to the ground. So, I don't know.
Aldhelm did what he thought
I enjoyed him.
Was best for his kingdom.
He was just a tragic character forever.
Yes, he was. Like in the, it's funny the way that he started off too. You know, with Æthelflaed's husband and like how they were like buddies and you just didn't like him with his stupid haircut.
Yeah,
but he ended up being this character that you really cared about.
Yes,
and I was sad when he when he died the way that, like, it was awful.
Yes. But he needed to go. But I'm just saying that Father Pureleg, like, on the flip side, you know what? Now I can just think of him as the Jiminy Cricket for Æthelstan, because Æthelstan is going to need that for the 15 yes. years of reign. Yes. So I'm okay if that Father Pureleg is alive. But I just, that was kind of a fake out. I really kind of felt like...
Did you feel manipulated with
yes,
that?
Yes. Okay. That, oh no, Pureleg's died. Now I need to really go and fight. And oh no, now Uhtred might die.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel like there were any real losses. Mm-hmm. There was no one that died in the good guy side. From that major battle that, you know, they had this text over it. Oh, it was the bloodiest battle and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but I don't care about anyone who died.
In the battle itself.
That I saw on show. Now, if I lost Father Pureleg, I'd yes. be like, man, that battle.
That's, yep, I agree.
I lost someone in there too.
Yep, I agree
but
with
I didn't.
You. I mean, if you're going down the road of what
the you're- Scottish king didn't even die. Son died, he didn't die.
Well,
Constantine.
I kind of like that too, right? Because all the kings survived mm-hmm. except for their kids, right?
Yeah.
Which to me makes that even worse, right? Because now they have to live without their kids.
Yeah.
They made such a big deal within the film of saying, as long as you have a kid, your kingdom will continue on. Mm-hmm. Like your line will continue on, and now you can't. And by the way, I think it's also important that Æthelstan has to be celibate in order to leave his brother the kingdom, right? So yes. there's another thing there that points to that, where there can be, from now on, there can be a clean, fresh start,
mm-hmm.
right? At least until the Normans come and take over yeah. England. So I like that theme, and I also like the theme of the what happens when somebody has the kind of power that Æthelstan gets and what that does to you, mm-hmm. right? And what that and how easily manipulated you can be. We left the last season of The Last Kingdom thinking that Æthelstan was going to be like a good person.
Yeah.
And make the right decisions.
Chess, Bible reading. Move it. Let's play.
Yeah. And here's another thing too I want to talk about.
The chess?
No, but just the
sexy Bible time?
No, because whatever. Like, I think the problem that I have is
I'm getting close.
There's such a tonal shift with Æthelstan that happens off screen. Can I buy that he gets influenced by this person and thereby starts making these poor decisions? Yes, I can. But when the shift back towards reality happens after Ingelmunder is proven to have been a liar mm-hmm. and Æthelstan's like, oh, mess this one up, guys.
Yes.
All of a sudden it's like, whee, everything's back. Everything's normal. And
meaning like people have forgiven Æthelstan for all the treacherous and murderous things
yeah,
he's
like,
done. Okay.
And there's no repercussion there. It's just the movie makes this. Like,
let's
about
trust
face.
This completely
yeah.
untrustworthy person.
And it does it and then it turns into after the battle, it's like Æthelstan, you know, rules and he's one of the greatest kings ever. And like, yay, wee, you know, but like, within the context of the film, you went ahead and said, Christians killing Christians for the sake of a conquest is really effing bad.
Yes.
And Æthelstan did that by invading Scotland and invading all of these people that he had no quarrel with other than the fact that there was, you know, because he was being
convinced
to do so.
Well, they were
going to
be doing, no, but they also, it was just all bad.
No, I don't think it was all bad.
No, war's bad.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
All of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he invaded Scotland because then Scotland was also, he had been told to by Ingermunder.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scotland joined the Danes, so he had to fight Scotland because they were against him. Now, had they sat down and had chicken and sat at a fire and talked it out, probably would have been fine.
And, like, I guess there's also something kind of nice, too, where, you know, the people that you think are going to be the characters that you can believe in, like
Æthelstan
and that whole faction.
And Wagga?
Who?
Wagga, that lady. That
isn't
that her name? Because I thought it was like Wagyu beef. It's like Wagyu or Wagga.
And then there was Astrid.
Astrid. Oh, the daughter?
The daughter, yeah. But, you know, I think there's this cool sense like, okay, these are the people that we're supposed to trust and believe in, and they're the ones that are actually making all of this worse. Like, I kind of like that they turned Ethelstan into a little bit of a villain.
Agreed.
Here who made the plot run.
Agreed.
Right? And then you found yourself kind of questioning, okay, is Anlaf right? Right? Is he correct? And did he really manipulate this so well that he could get all of the other kings?
Did.
But then he shows himself, right? He shows his true colors by making the choice to go to Bettenberg and kill all the people.
Mm-hmm. Why did he do that? That, you know, just unnecessary.
Well.
Unnecessary.
I think there's a couple of different things here. I think one, he knows that the people of Bettenberg are going to be problematic if Uhtred
survives
and is around at all. Or if he's killed, like there's going to be a power vacuum. Like there's going to be an issue and he needs to have all these people out in order to make sure that the North is taken care of. Right. But also, I think he even says this in the film. He's like, or Uhtred kind of susses it out where he's like, oh no, this attack happened because he's trying to draw out Ethelstan. Mm-hmm. He's trying to draw him out of Wessex and he's trying to draw him out to get him into battle so that, you know, he can do his whole thing. And it doesn't matter if Uhtred kills, you know, Ethelstan kills, it's going to be in chaos anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So why not just take care of all the stuff that I need to do and draw people out?
You know who I missed? Lady Aelswyth.
Yeah, I mean.
Rest in peace.
You know, whatevs.
I mean, she was probably, what, 83?
And she's probably in that range too. Yeah. So.
Sorry, just thinking about
it's
all
okay.
The people I miss.
What else do you think? Because, yeah, we're at 47 minutes now. What else did you like about this film? I liked the final battle. I liked that it was raw. There's lots of blood. People are dying.
I mean, I got to be real with you. I'm not a battle person. So to me, this is just like any other battle I've seen in The Last Kingdom. And for them to have that super at the bottom that said like, this was the biggest, bloodiest war. I didn't feel that way. Now, or did it mean to say that there were people from so many different places that were lost rather than just, you know, two different places fighting each other? That I can understand. But the battle itself didn't feel as impactful to me as other battle scenes had. And I don't know where Ethelstan came with all the horses at the end. That just wasn't clear to me that was part of the deal.
I think that was on purpose.
No, but like, whose horses are they? Are these all Ethelstan's guys? Because I thought, that was Osbert on the horse.
Yes.
Ethelstan with his people. So who was Osbert with? Who are all those horse people?
That is not clear. I will give you that. If one of the nerds out there has some information.
Or is it just these are Ethelstan's horse people, but Osbert now rides with them? I just had no idea where they came from because everyone that Osbert was hanging out with got killed. The people who were being trained to be fighters were killed. So these weren't his. Everyone from Bebbanburg was killed. So I assumed that they could only be the horse riders of Wessex or horse riders of Ethelstan's, but just didn't make sense. So it was like, no, the troops are coming in. And I'm so used to like Lord of the Rings when the horse people come down, but you know who they are.
Right.
And this was like at least
Gandalf
plans.
At the Helm's Deep.
Yeah. So like, Osbert is Gandalf, but who are these peeps with you?
Yeah.
I've never seen them before.
Where are the riders of Rohan?
Yes.
Yeah. I totally agree. By the way, I'm just going to have to play our sound. We're talking about Lord of the Rings while watching The Last Kingdom.
I did love the shield wall ouchie on your feet, though. Very cool move.
Yes, I totally agree. And there are some things that are callbacks that I think fans of the show are going to appreciate that if you haven't watched it, you're not going to like, which is, you know, he calls them all Arslings.
Yeah.
You know, he does.
The sword is Uhtred's sword of Uhtred.
Oh, that it's a great bit of writing right there. And then, like, you know, and then there is the call out for the shield wall. Like, these are things I think are pillars of the show that are kind of just there.
They're sprinkled in. They're the spices.
Yeah. I will say that Martha Hillier understands the characters, mm-hmm. and especially Finan. And I know we've talked about it. Like, he's the comic relief in the show. But yeah, Uhtred, Sword of Uhtred, is one of the finer bits of writing I think that she's done. And she gets it. Mm-hmm. She gets the back and forth between SEAL Team Uhtred.
Yeah. It's difficult, though, outside of that. So SEAL Team Uhtred, totally intact. Even though they've lost a few people along the way, it still felt great. I think just some of the other things were a little off. I didn't understand why they were trying to add in a little bit of romantic interest between Lady Agatha and... God bless you. And Uhtred.
I think that that was to push you in a direction thinking that Uhtred was going to die because he was the seventh king. But then they have that kind of unnecessary twist where Finnan's wife, as she says, and you're going to have to lose someone you love.
The woman you love.
Yeah, the woman that you love.
Yes.
She doesn't look at Uhtred, she looks at Finnan.
Yes.
And they replay that moment, obviously, about halfway through the film to drive that home.
Whereas one of the times that we saw it, the first time we saw it, we were halfway through, and I said, what if she's hearing woman that you love, but it really is one man that you love, and he loses Osbert. That was what I was thinking, is seven kings must die and the one man instead of woman, one man.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
Facts, FAQs. Why was Engelmeister?
Engelmunder.
Not at the coronation? Why didn't he go?
For
Æthelstan.
I don't know.
What was the point of not going? You're right in the library. Why wouldn't he go? I didn't understand that plot point.
Is it
because we as the viewers then find out, oh, he really doesn't care?
Yeah.
I would have almost liked to see the girl leaving the library. I've decided in my mind that Engelmunder, or whatever his name is the son of Anlaf. Because once again, that isn't explained to me. Where does he come from? At least he keeps talking with Anlaf. So I'm just in my mind thinking he's the twin brother of Ingrid.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have Ingrid leave the library, and then that be the reason why he wasn't at the coronation. Oh, this is his secret moments when he's able to update his spies.
Sure, sure.
When Æthelstan is busy.
Astrid,
not
Ingrid.
You. Okay.
Mary's still struggling with the names.
Yes.
She combined Astrid and Engelmunder.
Yes, because they're twins in my mind.
They had Ingrid's kid. They had a kid named Ingrid.
But I just didn't understand the reasoning and the writing of that. Why he wouldn't have been at the coronation.
Well, I think
why
that's probably more
they
of
couldn't
a
have left from the coronation and gone to the library and been like, "Wee, that was so great. I'm so proud of you."
I think that it's more of a foreshadowing moment. Like, when you look back on it, you're like, oh, I see, as opposed to... Because once it shows that he's not there, it's an instant move of like, all right, do we trust this guy? Do we not trust this guy? Something is off. Something feels off, right? Like, right off the jump, right? So I kind of see it. I agree with you. It would have been
fact,
nice. What?
We are less than a month away from the newest king's coronation, May 6th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when Charles will be
interesting
having his coronation.
Well, we're not on the Crown podcast right now.
No, I'm just saying that the next king of England, the king of England, will have his coronation. So I just thought it was an interesting thing. It made me think about coronations. It's coronation day.
It's coronation day. So... is there anything else that you want to talk about in this film, Mary? I think there are some beautiful shots. As always, the cinematography is stunning, especially in that scene where Uhtred is speaking with Sitric and Finnan when they're on the horse. And Finnan is actually blocking the sun. Or no, sorry, Uhtred is blocking the sun, and as he walks away, the lens flare comes, the sun flare comes over the lens.
There were a couple of moments where there were trees as transitions that I just didn't understand the purpose of them, aside from being just filler shots.
Yes.
And I did not enjoy those. Just like in the show, I didn't enjoy the crows and things like that, but at least it had a meaning.
Yes.
For me, these transition shots just didn't serve any purpose.
Yep.
And I would have preferred something different.
There was also a weird edit when Engelmunder is eventually killed. It's this weird cut.
I mean, I didn't watch it because all I heard was...
Yeah, it's a weird cut. Like, it's almost like they had the actor and then they put, you know, a wax figure in or a rubber figure in, but they didn't get the like the framing right, so it's just like this weird jump cut.
Yeah,
and
it's like a choppy TikTok movie.
Maybe. Yeah, and it's like it wasn't placed just right, so that the when the person goes down into the what's it called, into the body, it like it's obviously a different body.
Yeah, I'm all set.
And it's just like it's not a smooth transition.
Ugh.
I do want to talk though about Uhtred's choice at the end. You say that it's not a choice, that he is dying, that he's about to die.
Yes.
I say that it's more a representation of what Uhtred's life was about. And this is why I can buy this whole film is the final shot. Because ultimately the show is not about these conquests or Alfred or whatever. It's about Uhtred as a person and where he belongs.
I loved that his faux dad was there.
Yeah, right. I know, right? Like Ragnar. Ragnar is there. I would have liked to seen the other Ragnar there.
Probably couldn't make it.
But maybe couldn't make it. Yeah, whatever. But we have Breida there. We have Heston there. Clappa was there. Like, and I do really love the whole instance where Finan was talking to me like, listen, you're not going to die. Because if you were going to die, I'm going to die first. And I'm still alive, so it's fine. And as Finan is saying this, Uhtred is hearing all of this.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I look at this in Uhtred's case as Uhtred has a choice to make. Does he want to fulfill like his life as a Dane and go into the halls of Valhalla and be with all the people that he's lost and loved there in that one particular life? Or does he choose to remain back in what is now England, right, with all the people that he loves there? And he's stuck in this life. And
see and hear Valhalla if you're not actually entering it.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's how I interpreted it.
But the show has always, and I always give the show credit, it never picked a side.
Mm-hmm.
It never said, Uhtred is this, or Uhtred shouldn't do that, or it never said, these people are awful, and these people are great. It never played favorites. And I think it's important that the movie ends on that same idea. They're both valid choices. They're both valid options for Uhtred. And whatever he chooses, he's going to lose something. So I like that the show has this choice. And that's why I say Uhtred doesn't die.
Okay.
Because he's not that he's
stuck.
He sees
that there's no chicken there. Let's be real.
Anything else you want to talk about in this review, my love? I mean,
we went through all my points.
Did
they were so deep, weren't they?
So does this work as a film for you?
No.
Does this work as an episode of television for you?
An epilogue.
Should it have been a full season of television?
No.
Why do you say that?
If they cared about answering the questions that I have from this, then they would have.
Okay, fair enough.
If they thought that it was important to tell me where Ingelmunder was from and if he was actually Anlaf's kid, they would have. They would have fit it in. If they cared about Citric's family, they would have fit it in. If they cared about Steora, anybody, they would have fit it in.
Fair. And let's
and
also
didn't.
Say...
So to the writers, they weren't important enough.
Let's also say this too, by the way. If they did address the Ingelmunder question, if he was Anlaf's kid, like the way that
or
Astrid
where
is...
Are they, yeah, where like, are they from?
if they did address it, the fact of the matter is you watched this movie now 3, 4, 5 times. You still don't have the answer. And you knew that you were podcasting about it. So you're looking for it.
Yeah.
And
I don't think he's Anlaf's kid because Anlaf would have said, I'm going to leave my kingdom to my children, not just to you. But throw me a bone here.
Yeah. So the fact is, if that were the case, if they did address it and you missed it, then that means if they did address it, they did a horrible job.
They did not address it.
So I think that's one thing. That's one thing. I would say for me, I enjoyed it as a movie only because I'm a fan of the show.
Oh, I do have a question.
What?
How did Engelmunder know that they had been warned when he was talking to the queen and she was saying, oh, I can't wait to go home. Could you bring me back? And right then he says, they've been warned. What tipped him off? Was it just because she was being so friendly?
Yeah, she was being so friendly.
She's just not a good actress?
No, I don't think so.
Gotcha. And then I loved how he asked for his sword. And in that moment, Uhtred knew.
That was a really cool thing.
That would have been one of my greats and my goods, was how beautifully and quickly that was in.
Yeah.
And how Uhtred was able to realize, this guy's a phony.
Yeah, something ain't right.
Yes.
And I there's also this really, there's another nice moment too, when Uhtred goes back after dealing with Anlaf and all the kings. He goes back, and I really do think he intended to kill Æthelstan. And then there's this moment after Æthelstan says, you know, okay, everybody leave. Leave me a sword, yada, yada. Uhtred, you could see it in his eyes. Like, the way that he's walking up to Æthelstan. Mm-hmm. It, like, something was going to go down. And then you just see him be like, oh, no, I can't. Like, you see it happen. But it's not in your face. It's a subtle mm-hmm. movement from Uhtred where you see his body relax and you can see that, you know, he lives up to the kind of character that he is. Uhtred is not a flawed character necessarily. Like, he's not one of those like anti-heroes. He's not someone that has like these issues where he's, you know, like, he's tormented and he's going to go back on his
not
word.
Right,
like,
now, at least.
Uhtred is the kind of hero that I love. I mean, I love myself an anti-hero.
I need a hero.
But it's just a person who does the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
He's such a Gryffindor.
And he says, and even at the end, when he's dying, he says, I don't need to be written in your histories. I just want to be honored in a feast saying that I kept my word. I lived up to my oath. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of character Uhtred is. And I really appreciate that.
You know what was funny? I just remember this too. When Æthelstan essentially banishes Uhtred.
Yes.
You know, take all of his clothes, take his swords, all that stuff. Nobody can feed him or anything. And it was supposed to be this monumental, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. And all I kept thinking back was when Uhtred was a slave and he was on the ship and how that was really the worst thing that ever happened.
And
to
that's
him.
Why I'm saying the movie has to manufacture itself mm-hmm. in order to make him have an arc, right? Like, you have to... Not only do you have to get Æthelstan to kill his brother, like, you have to have Edward die. Okay, inciting incident. Then you have to have Æthelstan kill the brother in front of Uhtred, which means then you have to get Uhtred to capture Engelmunder. Then that means you have to get some lady to...
Wagyu, Wagga.
Yeah, to like leaf. Talk with Engelmunder and then have her help entrap Uhtred into this thing. And then have Æthelstan come to break down Uhtred and then take Uhtred's kid along with Edmund. And then you finally get something for Uhtred to actually fight for. Like, you finally get something that's natural to the characters as opposed to all of these plot mechanics. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, you had to make it so that some rando, like...
Engelmunder?
Well, yeah.
And
the lady, like, all kind of have this perfect storm of plot mechanics to get Uhtred into a place where he has to be put into the clutches of Anlaf and then decide, oh, no, I'm going to live up to my character and not kill Æthelstan. And then that's where the movie actually begins to me. So that's that. All right, we have some listener feedback, my love. We'll go through it real quick.
Okay.
And that is, this one comes from Katie Johnson. She says, I'm not a book reader, so I don't know what is missing. Overall, I enjoyed it, but why no Stiora? I kept waiting for her to show up. Still funny that after even more time has passed, Uhtred doesn't have a single gray hair on his head.
Yes.
And I did love seeing Breeda and Heston and the crew, even if only for a second or two. Kirsten Lang chimes in. She says, I've watched it twice, and although there's many great sections like the battle scenes and the last scene, I was mostly disappointed. I've read the books, and yes, there's a huge difference, like the fact that he has two love interests in Edith and Bernadetta. That later was a wonderful character whose narrative explains so much plot. Mm-hmm. I can forgive the book versus movie adaptations to a point. They had two books to adapt. However, I felt it was too rushed. The editing gave me a whiplash and making the dialogue clunky. And the gay storyline was a huge departure from the book, which I don't find offensive, but it took up precious time that could have been better utilized. It meant that the emotional scenes didn't quite land as they should have. We should have been more blubbering, but we weren't. It should have been another two seasons, sadly, in my opinion. The only savior was Alexander Draymond and his fellow casts in the acting, given what they had to work with. And lastly, we have Catherine Henry saying that she gives it 4.8 shields, a fitting end to a great story. Mm. The good was the link to the modern Bamburgh Castle. Yes. The bad was Ald Helm's death. I would much rather he died in battle. Yes. And the great was the glimpse of Valhalla with some of our favorite faces. I need to watch again to see if Heston had a chicken in his hand.
He did not. He did not, Catherine.
I kind of like that Ald Helm died the way that he did, because it was just another notch in the belt for Æthelstan being a horrible person, regardless. Like, he made these decisions were impactful.
And then Uhtred just forgives him. Like that.
All right. Anything else, my love, that other than the opening credits? Oh my God, the opening credits were great.
I fast forwarded through
them. Oh, it was great. All right.
You did love them. You were like, this is amazing.
Well, because they changed the music and it was awesome.
I was there for it, Blake.
All right. All right. You ready to close it out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you all so incredibly much for being on this journey to see how England was made. We obviously have thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with the Vikings and the Danes and the Scots and everyone in between.
Yep, all the kings of Wales and men.
But alas, our time here at The Last Kingdom, this is our last episode for The Last Kingdom, has ended. And as I said earlier in the podcast, we would love for you to still come in and hang out with us. Please, if you found us through The Last Kingdom, send us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. This is one of our smaller podcasts.
Yes.
And we always love knowing where people find us, but particularly if this was the first exposure to Mary and Blake Media for you, we would just love to get to know you a little bit better, and thank you for that. So thank you. Don't forget to share this. You can head on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a written rating and review. Obviously, the movie just came out recently, so this is going to be a great way for people who do want to cling to the series to delve a little bit more, to maybe rewatch the series and listen to our podcast while they do that too.
Yes.
So leave us a review. It's going to help us get a little bit of a bump in Apple Podcasts. And you can also take a screenshot of your podcast and throw it up in your Instagram or Facebook stories. We're greatly appreciated.
And lastly, I want to make sure you go to maryandblake.com to catch up on all of the podcasts that we have going on, whether it is the Potterverse or it's Outlander Cast, some other things that we're going to have coming out pretty soon, I think. We got a lot going on. And I just want to make sure that you are up to date with everything Mary and Blake Media if you think that we do bring enjoyment and another layer to watching your favorite shows and help spark some conversation that you probably wouldn't normally have, like facts.
Sorry.
And obviously, go to the Mary and Blake social channels, whether it is Facebook or Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. We're all there.
Yeah. On that note, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.